everyone, and welcome. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and you have tuned in to What Women Must Know, a show all about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health, your hormones, and overall well-being. So it's great having you join me today for another great show. I am here, it's the second week into Breast Health Awareness Month. As you know, this is the Pink Ribbon Month, and I've taken my stand. I don't really like the approach of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I think we need Breast Health Awareness Month and more knowledge and empowering information to support us in preventing breast cancer and looking at the options when we are facing an episode that offer more alternative or natural lifestyle options that support us in the healing. So to that end, I've created a month of daily postings on my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know. And actually, it's been quite an interesting process for me. I've thoroughly enjoyed it because it gives me a chance to share all the information that's out there, all the pieces of the puzzle that we as women need to know to support our bodies in staying healthy, hormonally balanced, and really understanding these issues at a deeper level. For instance, today I just posted an interview I did with a wonderful health and wellness educator about something that I had no knowledge of, and that is this really toxic ingredient lurking in our hair coloring products. Even natural coloring products may have this really toxic ingredient. And so this is the kind of information. I do great interviews with people. I post articles. I post solutions, practical tips, great stuff. And all you need to do is go over and like me at my Facebook page, at What Women Must Know. And also, if you're really wanting to gather more knowledge and information, go over to my website, What Women Must Know. Opt in there on to my newsletter, because you will get several of my free special reports. This radio show will be emailed to you. It gets sent out to everyone on my list, so it ensures you will not be missing it. And also, there are tons of free articles and videos that I have on that site. It's all there for you. Get the information, because that is what it takes to really step into a level of well-being and being a truly informed consumer. So there you are. Hope you take advantage of it. And there's a lot more to come in this month of breast health awareness. So go over, go like me at What Women Must Know. What the heck? Go ahead. Today, let's talk about the show that I have in store for you. I have a fantastic show for you today. So let me ask you, first of all, do you personally, or do you know of someone dealing with some sort of nerve pain or numbness, sciatica, shingles? Maybe you've had someone who's dealing with Bell's palsy. Diabetics have a big problem with peripheral neuropathies that's damage to their nerves. Any kind of nerve-related issue, this show is going to be addressing, because I'm talking to the author of The Secret Nerve Cures, Safe, Inexpensive, Effective, and Science-Based Remedies for Nerve-Related Health Challenges. And I have an amazing guest. The author is Dr. Bob Martin. Now, he is an amazing man. I just want to share a little bit of his background. He holds a science certification from the University of South Dakota School of Medicine, as well as being board certified in anti-aging medicine through the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. Dr. Martin is double board certified as a clinical nutritionist through both the International and American Association of Clinical Nutritionists, and as a diplomat of the American Clinical Board of Nutrition. Additionally, Dr. Martin is a board-certified chiropractic physician and physiotherapist in the states of Arizona, Colorado, and Kentucky. He is certified in applied kinesiology, has training in the fields of medicine, acupuncture, herbology, sports medicine, and exercise physiology. But that's not all. Dr. Bob Martin has a well-respected radio show, huge audience, called The Dr. Bob Martin Show. And he also is the author of many, many books. How he does all this, I actually want to know. And it's my pleasure to invite Dr. Bob Martin to the show today. So hello, Bob.
Hello to you, Dr. Selman. Thank you for the invite. The very sweet introduction that you just gave.
Oh, you're very welcome. You do amaze me. I don't know. I'm always amazed how people like yourself just do all those things in a lifetime. It's so impressive. And we get to have the benefit of it all.
Well, it's the passion of, at one point, I think, being sick in your life and thinking that that's the way it should be for the rest of your life, and then having somebody take you out of the dark and into the light and show you the way that it doesn't have to be that way, that you can actually get healthy naturally without the use of risky pharmaceuticals or surgery most of the time.
Wow, so you had your own health challenge when you were some point in your life.
Oh, I had tons of health challenges. I had asthma, allergy, sinus problems. I had eczema all over my body. I was diagnosed with ADHD and was told that I would probably never make it out of the eighth grade. And, I mean, I was sick every 6 weeks, and my parents, trying to help me as much as they knew how at the time, took me to medical doctors and doctors who prescribed drugs, and sure enough, out comes a prescription, more antibiotics, more antihistamines, more decongestants. I was hospitalized 4 times with pneumonia, and in as much as I credit, you know, crisis management medicine for saving my life at least 3 or 4 times with severe pneumonia, I also credit them with not ever talking to me about health and wellness and how to stay out of that place. And until I finally met somebody by chance, but I don't believe in chance really, by design, if you will, that said, you know, it's not normal to be sick like you're sick all the time, and there's got to be something interfering with your body's expression of health and wellness, and somebody needs to help you remove that obstacle or obstacles. And that's how I got better, when I met a chiropractor in the back room of a grocery store, working in this grocery store.
Wow.
And this guy started to work on me, Dr. Selman, on these makeshift giant boxes of toilet paper, Charmin toilet paper. I remember it. And he says, yeah, he was a student at the time. He was a resident in his clinical practice. And he started to treat me in the back room of this grocery store and found I had some problems with my neck and back that were shutting off the signals, essentially, from my brain to the various parts of my body, including my immune system. And as he freed those up very gently and effectively, all of a sudden it was like a plant that was wilting, not getting water and sunlight and nutrients. Suddenly my life came back and my health came back. And I, at that point in time, said to myself, you know, if that can happen in somebody as sickly as me, that was literally bankrupting my parents by going to doctors and never getting well and having lots of side effects to what they were doing, then I think I need to become a doctor and help humanity find their way in a similar fashion.
And so you did.
And that's what I've done. And I'm continuing to do it. It's my passion. I love it. It's really not work for me. It's something that I believe in so profoundly that I just want to tell as many people like you by using the media, radio, and other means, books, lectures, that people need to keep the hope, and they need to have the confidence and belief that their body can heal itself most of the time, as long as you can remove out of the way the obstacles for which allows healing to be expressed, which is really our God-given birthright from the beginning. And when that is interfered with or impeded in some manner, it will not happen, and you will need to have crisis, you know, orientated type of care. And in as much as I believe in that, and that's necessary too, most of the time it's not. And most of the people can actually be their own doctors most of the time if somebody will just sit down and take the time to tell them how to get healthy naturally.
Right. And you know, the message that so many of us are trying to give out to people is that strategies are available. They're not difficult. They're not complicated. They're not expensive. In fact, it gets expensive when you don't take time to do those strategies.
Oh, precisely. I mean, if you look at just some of the statistics, right now we know that a third of the American population, over 100 million people, suffer from long-lasting pain that can linger for weeks to months. That economic strain on our economy can be as much as $600 billion a year all by itself, Dr. Selman. And so in writing the book, Secret Nerve Cures, my goal was to help people, walk them through a way that they could find help with all kinds of different pains. I had the honor and the privilege of treating over 40,000 patients in my practice career that spanned over 25 years of practice. And that's why they call it the practice, because when you start, you don't have a clue as to how to really help people aside from the training that you hope that you got and hope that it was good enough to help as many people as you possibly can. But it's really your patients that are teaching you what works and what doesn't. And over time, I continue to catalog those things that worked and didn't work for, you know, pain-related conditions, from peripheral neuropathy to some of the things you mentioned, Bell's palsy, sciatica, nerve pain, back pain, tingling, numbness, burning, all that kind of stuff, because people are inclined, because they don't know that there exists other safer options that are science-based, they go and they buy at the store. They begin with over-the-counter analgesics, aspirin, ibuprofen, acetaminophen, naproxen, thinking, well, okay, that'll get me over the hump and I'll be fine. And sometimes that works and sometimes that is effective. But unfortunately, if there's something that's blocking their ability to really heal through whatever condition they have, they stay on these drugs and then they end up with exposing themselves to the various side effects that these drugs have, including cancer, heart attacks, joint cartilage destruction, not realizing that these drugs have a very slippery slope and a very dark side to them if they stay on these drugs for a lengthy period of time, which a lot of people do, unfortunately.
You know, first of all, just I want you to repeat that statistic you gave just a little while ago of how many people are dealing with some form of nerve pain.
It's over 100 million. We'll just say, and these are mostly adults that are grappling with some long-standing pain. It may be knee pain, it may be neck pain, back pain. I mean, people are just suffering. And so this goes on. And you know, at first, we utter the five dangerous words, and they are, maybe it will go away. And, you know, after 3 or 4 days of banging away on us pain, we get tired of it. And then, you know, some people, you know, will say, you know, the neighbor will say, well, try this Bengay. And the next person will say, well, you should wrap it. Or somebody gives you some advice, a relative, a friend, and that doesn't work. And then finally, you know, after a week or so, and affecting somebody's lifestyle and the way that they think and breathe and walk and everything else, they go to their doctor. And, of course, the doctor just gives them something bigger and stronger to kill the pain without respect to what's really causing the pain. And so then they continue to stay on the drug, and these drugs that are effective at blocking pain, there's no question about that. But what they do also is they hide the underlying cause. They just put frosting on burnt cake or paint over a termite, so to speak, and this costs our economy around $600 billion a year in lost production and the ability to work and the ability to function in our lives with our family and everything else. So it is a major sucking sound that goes on. In fact, you know, doctors are poorly trained in treating and managing pain. I read a study back, oh, it was probably about 10 years ago, out of the Journal of Neurology that stated that only 30% of neurologists surveyed believe they had adequately been trained to diagnose pain, and only 20% thought they were properly trained to treat pain. So if neurologists, who are really specialists in nerves and how to deal with nerve problems, brain, nervous system, pain, if they are clueless when they graduate, mostly, on how to spot and treat pain, think about what the average doctor on the street, the GP or the family practitioner, knows about pain, aside from what their, you know, some drug salesman is telling them that they need to prescribe in order to get some tickets at a football game or a baseball game.
Yes, I think people need to realize that if you're dealing with a pain issue, the thing that your doctor will offer you is some sort of pain medication. It's never addressed as a symptom of some underlying issues and really supporting the body and being able to heal the problem, which eliminates the pain. But the pain is the messenger telling us something needs attention. And I know in your book you've talked about some of the what I call root cause issues that contribute to nerve pain. Can we talk a little bit about the origin of nerve pain? What do you believe out of your research, out of your many years of research, what have you seen and what has your research led you to understand about what drives and creates nerve pain?
Well, there's probably hundreds of reasons, if not thousands of reasons, nerve pain occurs, from eating incorrectly and ingesting foods that are pro-pain, which are foods that help generate inflammation in the body. We're talking now about the standard American diet or the SAD diet. If you eat high on the food chain and you eat a lot of animal foods, and I'm not a vegetarian myself, but I can tell you, I don't eat red meat, I don't eat pork, I don't eat foods like that that are full of chemicals and hormones and all kinds of other elements, antibiotics. If you eat too much of that food and then you throw down the caffeine and the alcohol and the hydrogenated fats and the tobacco products and you eat little fruit and vegetable in your diet and not enough fiber and not enough pure water, your body shifts more to like almost battery acid, which helps to generate a shift in the pH of your body to a more acid state, which is a perfect environment for many diseases, including cancer and pain. So that's one area. The other, of course, is that we live in a fast-paced society in which we sit in front of computers and we type and our necks are bent forward and we're in chairs all day long and we don't stretch enough. And just having that kind of ergonomic or postural strain on our frames, our neuromusculoskeletal system, that in and of itself, along with the shearing force of gravity on us, causes pain. And then if you slip on the ice or you have some kind of an injury anywhere in your life, starting at birth, where you come through the birth canal, and the mother is unfortunately sedated with a steroid shot in her back, and she can no longer push properly, and the baby has to be pulled and extracted, and stress happens there, and these injuries occur to the upper neck area of these babies. That can set up a lifetime worth of chronic pain, and people can't trace it back to the birth because there's no bruise, there's no bleeding, it's just an injury to the upper neck area. And it's also a major cause for SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. But some people make it past there and they go through life with these problems. And that's probably where my issues started. That's just a fraction of the things. The drugs that people take for drugs, Dr. Selman, as you well know, are paradoxical, which means that if a person's taking aspirin for headaches, if they take the aspirin long enough, they'll get headaches from the aspirin. That's a known medical fact, but doctors don't tell their patients that. They just say, well, if this doesn't work, come on back. We'll put you on something else. And if that has too many side effects, we'll try something new. It's never about cause. It's always about covering it up.
Can we, I know we're going to go into some, in fact, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about solutions and strategies that really are effective. But before I go there, I want you to spend a little more time just giving the truth about the consequences from the many medication options that people are offered when they're dealing with pain. So people are alerted to the real consequences. And one thing I want to start with is the cortisone shot. And I was told by a doctor, actually, that you are only supposed to have one cortisone shot in your life for safety's sake, and you know, for the body, for the body's ability to be able to deal with it and not have consequences from it. Mm-hmm. So tell us about cortisone and what's really going on when we get these cortisone shots, which are given very frequently.
They are, and there's been an ongoing debate about the frequency, but I think I've heard one, I've heard two, I've heard three is the upper limit. And I think they use three because the insurance companies won't pay for more than three, so of course many doctors go right to three. And the tragedy of this latest problem with the fungal meningitis, the contamination of the steroid shots, which are used epidural shots to inject into somebody's spine who has low back pain, is we have now 14 people who are dead. We have 170 people who are sickened or maimed in 11 states, and the numbers just keep rising. What's not being spoken about or talked about in the media, I mean, it's a tragedy enough. Think of the families that are attached to these people who have died and these people now who are disabled and for life as a result of this unnecessary medical procedure. I mean, that's bad enough you lose your life, but when you go back and you look at some of the studies and you read the American Academy of Neurology's Therapeutics and Technology Assessment Subcommittee, they said that steroid shots in the back don't work any better than placebo. You could give them a fake shot or a sham shot, and it would work long-term just as good as sticking a steroid shot, an epidural steroid shot, into somebody with chronic or midterm long back pain, which means that these shots have not worked. They were determined not to work. And I talked about this on my radio show back in 2007. I mean, you go back and you see some of the reviews of some very prestigious and some of the highest standards in evidence-based healthcare, the Cochrane reviews, they say they don't work. So these doctors continue to give these steroid shots to unsuspecting consumers, and they're making $2,000 to $5,000 a pop that takes less than 5 minutes to do. And this is the reason why they continue. The problem is that, one, these patients shouldn't have even received the steroid shots, let alone that there was a rare fungal infection harbored in the shot, and that's a tragedy, and they're trying to figure that out right now. And that will, you know, eventually solve itself. But doctors will continue to give these shots, exposing their patients to who knows what. But what I'm talking about and what I've been talking about on my radio show is these people should not have had these shots. They should have first been exploring other possibilities like acupuncture, like anti-gravity inversion therapy, like yoga, like Pilates, like chiropractic, like naturopathy, prolotherapy. There's so many, massage therapy. There are so many other things these people could have and should have been doing. And unfortunately, their doctors did not mention it. Why should they? They're going to make $2,000 to $5,000 a shot times three. I read something on the internet, Dr. Selman. This one person got four steroid shots, and her insurance company paid $26,400, and then they paid out of their pocket $500. You talk about making some bank. Wow. No wonder these shots continue on, even though they don't work.
Well, I'd like you to explain a little bit more of what are the consequences when we get a cortisone shot. What is it doing to us? Because I have to say that I don't think people are aware of the damage that is being done when you get multiple cortisone shots over a lifetime.
They're not. Part of it is that steroids are effective at reducing inflammation. They shut down a cascade of events that has to do with the way that the inflammatory process goes up. There is no question that they will reduce inflammation, but the question always becomes, are they the right thing to do, and have we explored all other, you know, conservative, non-life-threatening other treatments first? And the answer is hardly ever. When you inject a steroid into somebody, whether it's in their spine or something else, it will reduce the inflammation, but what it also does is it causes damage to, one, the surrounding tissues that steroid is coming in contact with. It'll thin out the soft tissues. The ligaments in the area become thin and brittle. The bone is leached of its bone structure, its hardening structure, which means that the bone will become brittle. That's part of the side effects. If you look at the long list, probably three or four pages long, of whether they be oral, ingestible, synthetic steroids or injectable steroids, you immediately have immune suppression, you have bone loss, you have damage within the soft tissues that are coming in contact with it. We haven't even talked about the possibility of infections in the site where the injection occurs. On and on and on. But at the same time, you still have to leave something like that on the table. I'm not here to knock drugs and knock medical procedures, because they can be life-saving too. But what happens is we don't use them judiciously. We don't use them after all other conservative things have failed in non-life-threatening or benign self-limiting conditions. We go after the hard, heavy stuff first because it's more profitable, or it's been taught in medical school. And in that case, it's one of the scenarios of garbage in, garbage out.
You know, if people had those warnings available to them before they went in to get a shot, if they were told the risks, you know, don't you think most people would just turn around and head back out and look for other options? Because Just the consequences from getting a cortisone shot can be devastating to one's health and life.
It can, you know, aside from the fact that they don't work, and in the case of, you know, back pain, it doesn't work. You know, these people, these people who have died and have been injured from this steroid shot, certainly they should go after and sue the whoever it was that messed up and caused the contamination, but they should be suing the doctors who injected them, because those doctors, if they were reading their medical literature, and that's part of what we have to do to stay on top of all of our training outside of when we graduate, it's called postgraduate training, or we never stop training as doctors. They knew that these injections don't work any more than placebo do. I mean, they had to know it. It's out there. It's in the medical literature. But when profitability steps in front of ethics, unfortunately, bad things happen.
And this whole issue of the fungal meningitis is really bringing that to the fore. I mean, I don't think that would have been such an issue out there in the public if this, you know, this tragedy didn't happen.
Not at all. In fact, I haven't heard one single major news organization talking about it. They're all focusing in on the fungal infection, the contamination, which is rare, no question about it. But it allows us to go back and say, okay, but what if these people would have been told that these shots don't work in the first place, and they walked out of these doctors' offices, and they're still alive today, and their families are not in a complete meltdown and destroyed?
So is this the standard of care when someone goes to a doctor complaining of back pain or other pain issues? Would this be the first thing that would be offered?
No,
by a traditional medical doctor?
Those people usually have some chronic problem. They usually have tried some type of systemic treatment like painkillers. They may have sent them over for some cursory physical therapy, and now they go, okay, well, we've tried everything. We've given you drugs. We've given you physical therapy. You rested. It's not working. We got to do the steroid shots, or you're going to end up in back surgery. You don't want back surgery, do you? And the person says, oh, no, I don't want to back surgery, doc. Don't. Well, then all I have left is a steroid shot here. What do you think? And, of course, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
What they haven't told them about, which I think is malpractice, at its minimum, is that, you know what, there are other healing arts out there that have been effective at treating back pain. Have you considered a chiropractor? Not just any chiropractor, but a chiropractor that specializes in chronic back pain. Did you know that there are over 100 different techniques that chiropractors use that are for disc cases or other cases? And don't, just because one can't help you doesn't mean another one can't. I mean, that's like any profession. You're only as good as your skill set. That doesn't get explored. How about acupuncture? Oh, you haven't tried acupuncture, huh? Well, you should, because acupuncture has been around for 2,000 years. It's safe. It's effective. Certainly a lot safer than the steroid shot that I could give you, but I shouldn't until you try acupuncture. These are the kinds of conversations that should occur. They don't occur because why? There's a financial gain to be had, and there's a lot of bias. There's a lot of monopoly going on, and who gets the brunt of it? The consumer, unfortunately.
Well, we need to take a break, but when we come back, Dr. Bob Martin, who is the author of Secret Nerve Cures, is going to be sharing with us some of the best solutions he's found to address the many issues that are compromising our nerve health. So, I don't want anyone to go away. We are going to be right back right after this break. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You are listening to What Women Must Know. I'm Dr. Cheryl Selman, and we are having a really fascinating conversation today with Dr. Bob Martin, who is just so well-versed. He is a, he's accredited in so many healing modalities. He is a nationally syndicated radio host himself. He has many, many books to his credit, and he's a passionate man who is on a mission to get us all to find natural healing ways to get our bodies back in balance again. Well, I think we should go and look at some of the issues that really are affecting those 100 million Americans with nerve pain of some sort or another, and let's see if we can offer some insight for our listeners. How does that sound, Dr. Martin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's, you know, there's so many diabetics out there, you know, as we know, it's a huge, huge, huge epidemic, I think we could call it, of diabetes, and one of the side effects happens to be neuropathy, the damage of the nerves, particularly in the feet, sometimes in the hands. What do you recommend for people dealing with neuropathies?
Well, the first thing you have to deal with, if it's a diabetic-related neuropathy, because there are over 100 different reasons why people have neuropathy, including diabetes, including alcohol, including ringing in the ears is considered a type of neuropathy. So you have to keep their blood sugar in a proper balance or range in order to keep the nerves from being poisoned by the sugar that's not being utilized in their bloodstream, but it's poisoning their nerve tissue. So exercise, diet, keeping them on a glycemic index-oriented diet, those are all absolutely critical. And then once you get that under control, and while you're doing that, you can tell them the certain things that they should be doing in order for their nerve tissue to heal. Because unfortunately, what doctors do for people that have neuropathy is they give them anti-seizure drugs and epileptic drugs like Neurontin and other drugs, which are poisonous and that will increase the risk of somebody wanting to take their own life, suicide. Just look up the results of those drugs that are used for neuropathy, which don't work hardly at all anyway, and to have the side effects attached to them is like the benefits don't outweigh the risks. But yet, if you go into the medical literature, peer-reviewed medical studies, you find that there are certain nutrients that will absolutely help people to regenerate their own nerves. And doctors, all they have to do is look this up themselves, because we all know, at least those of us who are in the complementary or integrative medicine trenches, functional medicine trenches, that there's hardly any nutrition taught in a standard medical school these days, hardly any at all. And what is taught is so rudimentary that it can't really be used that much in clinical practice. But when you have people who have neuropathy, they automatically have to get checked for vitamin D. And the reason that most diabetics are low in vitamin D is because, one, they're afraid of going out in the sun because they've heard that anybody who touches sunlight will get skin cancer. And when they do go out, they cover up or they wear sunscreen. And I understand the argument of that. And I'm not talking about going out and getting a sunburn. I'm talking about getting sunlight, small amounts frequently, so your body can convert cholesterol in your skin to vitamin D, because we know, for example, in one study, Archives of Internal Medicine, one of the most prestigious medical journals, says that having a deficiency in vitamin D will cause nerve pain, and diabetics it'll increase their nerve pain by almost half. 50%, and there's a simple blood test that all doctors know about called 25-hydroxyvitamin D. It's inexpensive, and all doctors would have to do is run the test, and they'll find that most of their patients are deficient, especially their diabetics, and then put them on a certain amount of vitamin D, and when that D level comes up to where it needs to be, 50% of those patients who have diabetes, remember, have vitamin D deficiencies, according to the medical journals, then their nerves will start to regenerate. You add to that vitamin B12 or something called methylcobalamin, which is the sort of the nerve-ready B vitamin, and I would recommend it in a microlingual form so that it's absorbable. It's like taking a B12 shot under your tongue. If you take this form of B12 instead of another one that's commonly out there in B-complex vitamins, it's called methylcobalamin, your nerves will start regenerating the very minute that goes into your bloodstream. If you add to that omega-3 oils, like the salmon oils, the EPA, DHA, they also reduce inflammation down and assist in the body's attempt to help with nerve damage. You have a lot of things. You have food. You have homeopathic remedies. There are exercises. And that's the reason why the book was written, Dr. Selman, is because people can't get this kind of education in their doctor's office in that 7 to 8 minute visit where they're going to be prescribed, sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, a drug, and if that drug doesn't work, they'll have to come back and get another one. So this book is written for the consumer. It shows them the remedies. It tells them about the nutrients, the vitamins, the minerals, the herbs, the homeopathic remedies, the foods, the exercise, the practitioners they should get in touch with or know about in order to help heal their body of these various nerve disorders, and it's across the, you know, across the board and across the gamut.
You know, this is a good place to actually give people the website where they can order the book. Where do you recommend they go?
Well, then go to my personal website at drbobmartin.com. All one word, Dr. Bob Martin. It's drbobmartin.com. They can order it there, and if they order it off that website, they'll get an autographed copy. But it's available at Amazon.com. And there's also a place, a company in Oklahoma that distributes the book in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that if I've signed a bunch of copies and sent it down to them and they distribute it, their number is 800-606-8822, because we recognize that some people just don't have, you know, a computer or are on the internet, so they won't be able to get to my website, so we provide the 800 number, and what they do at 800-606-8822, and the book is entitled Secret Nerve Cures.
And, you know, the whole point of your work and your purpose is giving these strategies, saving people so much money and pain and struggle. We talked about neuropathies. You know, there are a couple of other issues that really come up a lot, and I just want your thoughts on them. First of all, I just talked to a patient today who's dealing with sciatica, and that's a really common inflamed nerve problem. What are some of your recommendations for people who are suffering with sciatica? Because that can be quite debilitating.
You're absolutely right. It is debilitating, especially if the pain is below the knee. If the pain moves below the knee and they can feel it into their calf or into their foot or their big toe, they really deserve to have a thorough orthopedic neurologic exam and a MRI, because once the pain goes below the knee, there's a very high likelihood in our experience that there's a disc involved. And we need to know the degree and the nature of that disc involvement. It doesn't mean that they have to have surgery necessarily, even though you still don't rule that out, but you try everything you can do conservatively to try to avoid surgery, because surgery has a high rate of failure. I mean, some statistics say that maybe 30%, maybe 40% of back surgery works. But you've talked to other people, and you've had this experience, Dr. Selman. You have people coming that have had 3, 4, 5 different back surgeries, and they're still not right, and they're strung out on opiates. They're prisoners to OxyContin and Vicodin for the rest of their life, and they're now made into drug addicts that need to go into a methadone program, and they're still suffering. So you got to push back on anything like that, and unless it's an emergency procedure, and back pain is not an emergency procedure. But what happens is people with sciatica, it affects their life so badly that they can't work, they can't sit, they can't make love, they can't have, you know, enjoyment of life. So eventually their doctor says, well, we've tried the drugs, we tried the shots, it's not working, you want to suffer the rest of your life, or do you want to have surgery? And they eventually get talked into these surgeries, and that's unfortunate, because the sciatic nerve is the largest nerve in the body, and it's the longest running nerve, and when it becomes impeded or irritated, either at the lumbar spine in the lower back, or it can become compressed in a muscle in your pelvic area, that needs relief. And the first thing you got to do when that happens is, one, you got to slow down and rest and put ice on it, not heat. Heat is a massive mistake for most sciatic cases. Ice only. Because when you put the heat on a sciatic problem, you're adding like gasoline on a fire. There's already inflammation and too much blood there. Why do you want more? Then from there, once you get that under control a little bit, over 24 hours, you make an appointment with a chiropractic physician. This is the doctor of choice in the case of a hot low back or a sciatica. And that person should be skilled in physical therapy. They should know exercise physiology. They should know something about nutrition, because most chiropractors do. Some naturopaths do. Many naturopaths are also skilled in this area and can offer excellent advice, or work together. If a chiropractor, let's say, has decompression equipment, which sometimes if there's a disc, it requires a specialized form of apparatus that can open up that disc, allow that disc to be moved back into proper position, and then from there you have to help the people with pain control, and you can do that with homeopathy, or you can do it with botanicals, or you can do it with other things, but you got to have that, and that'll keep people from requiring or desiring the drugs, which may preclude them from really getting to the treatment that they need.
So those are some great suggestions. And, you know, I had sciatica last year, and I guess it was from exercising, and I noticed after I had an exercise workout, the pain started. It took a while to resolve it. I did lots of things, and it still took a while. So I would imagine that if you have sciatica, it does take some time to heal that nerve.
It does. And, you know, people need to understand that. And unfortunately, you know, because of our active lifestyle, if we had the time where we could just say, okay, I think I'll take 4 to 6 weeks off.
Right,
you know, we can't. So what we do is we do as best we can with and hope for the best. But unfortunately, it belabors the healing process because we're sitting again. Sitting is one of the worst things you can do for sciatica. And so you're over there tweaking it all the time, and it's like knocking the scab off of a healing piece of skin, and you wonder why that is not healing. So we do it to ourselves, but if we get properly educated, and the doctor who's managing it can teach you about bracing and icing and proper lifting and turning and proper sleeping habits, you can at least minimize the shock that you're going to get while you continue to navigate through your daily activity that you have to do to pay your mortgage and to pay your car payments and all that sort of stuff.
I have a question. You talked about using ice. Do you recommend using ice and heat to do both, to rotate both when you're having pain?
Sometimes. After you get through the first 3 or 4 days of ice exclusively, and again, I'm talking about on a 0 to 10 scale, somebody who's in like 8 to 10, 10 being the worst pain, 0 being the least.
Right.
You know, you should be using ice over the affected area, usually in the lower back, 20 to 25 minutes per hour, as often as you can. And then after it starts to, you know, get better over the next maybe 72 hours or so, then you might be able to alternate and do contrast treatment, which is hot, cold, like that, starting with cold, maybe, and then heat, and then ending with cold, and then maybe that for maybe a few more days. And then ultimately, as you're getting better, and now you're under care, and things are really getting better, and now all it is just some stiff muscles that are in a guarding position, and you just need to flush out some of the lactic acid and some of the other debris that's in the area, then you can go to a moist heat intermittently. And if it gets worse, you go back to the ice. But, you know, if it's done in the right sequence, the answer is yes, you can go to alternating therapies like that. But if it's happening in the beginning, and it always used to just kill me, Dr. Shulman, when I would have somebody come into the office and they'd been in the emergency room, and they handed them the sheet about putting heat on an acute low back. We had a little ceremony in our office where we just tear it up, throw it in a bucket, hand them an ice instruction sheet.
Oh, you're kidding! They gave them the absolute worst advice.
Yeah, they did, and they didn't mean it on purpose. They just don't know. It's not their expertise.
Yeah.
Stick with the stitches and stuff, you know, and the wound, but not this.
Let's talk about shingles, because that is another really painful condition that people struggle with a lot.
It is, and it's a difficult condition for which medical providers have little or nothing to offer other than the same treatment for herpes, like Valtrex and things that have lots of side effects. And it's not easy to treat once you get this infection, but yet it's really not just getting this infection. People who have shingles have had it for decades. As you know, this is an infection. It's a remnant of the chickenpox virus that we either were exposed to and had, and then it hit out in a nerve sheath, and it just laid in there for years and dormantly waiting for an opportunity for that person's immune system to go into this lowered state of functioning, and then finally an event happened in the person's life, let's say when they're in their 40s, 50s, 60s, or beyond, that maybe they had a death that affected them emotionally or psychologically, or they had a trauma, and all of a sudden they break out in the shingles, and they get these breakouts, these blisters, and they're just extremely painful. And there's really nothing medically that can be done. In fact, the drugs usually make the patient sick and worse. But there is a protocol. In fact, there's a protocol in my book on how to treat shingles on page 33, and it involves going back to helping to stimulate the immune system in a natural way so that the immune system can go in and kill the viral replication process or interfere with the viral replication process of these viral infections. And that includes using things like chiolic garlic or using black elderberry extract or olive leaf extract. So there's lots of natural ways, and I use these protocols in my very busy practice, and they brought people around. Even though these people who came in with full-on cases of shingles were told that they may have it for a year or two. And I said, well, yeah, you will have it for a year or two if you take the medical advice that you are getting, but here's a way to really hasten the healing process. Take this stuff, and usually within a matter of days or weeks at the most, they got better. Their bodies were the ones that were healing. It was nothing really I did. All I did was imparted some information that they didn't otherwise have. You give the body some antiviral botanicals, and that body will take that raw material and go after and stimulate that portion of the immune system, which pumps up our strong antiviral fighting capacity like interferon and other things, even vitamin C when you're having shingles. You should start just swallowing that on about every other hour. So there's lots of things you can do for shingles, both internally and topically, with capsaicin cream once the blisters are healed, taking hot tubs, calamine lotion. There's just a lot of things you can do.
And one last thing before we run out of time. The problem of ringing in the ears, tinnitus, actually you formulated a homeopathic product, which, by the way, you told me about when I met you recently, and so I've sent it over to this friend. We'll see if it helps. But this is a really, it's such a frustrating condition because it's like you have this ringing in your ears all the time.
It
can drive you crazy.
Yeah. It is. And I've had it. You know, I came out of a concert once, a concert with Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, and I was really close to one of those gigantic speakers that are about as big as a house. And, you know, we wanted to get real close in the action. About 3 weeks after that, I still had this low-grade hum in my ears. Luckily, it faded and went away. Some people aren't that lucky, though. They have an incessant ringing that literally drives them mad, and it is a major cause of people considering suicide because they try everything. They try the maskers. They try various things. It doesn't work. So it is a real recalcitrant condition, and you got to pull out all the stops, including using homeopathy, using herbs, and there are herbs that have been used and are even written about in the Physician's Desk Reference for Herbology, which is like the big red book for drugs, that can help people, but it doesn't happen overnight. People with ringing in the ears have to try acupuncture. They have to get off of aspirin. There are over 250 drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, over-the-counter and prescription, that can actually cause or exacerbate ringing in the ears. And what they may not also realize is that monosodium glutamate, or MSG, which is a flavor-enhancing agent that's in a lot of Asian-oriented food, that can make ringing in the ears worse. Or NutraSweet, artificial sweeteners can make it worse. So while the person's trying to get over the ringing in the ears, they need to be educated about what things can roadblock them from really healing the condition up, and they're not, so they continue to suffer.
Do you find that the condition of ringing in the ears is related to stress, to weak adrenals? Do you see that correlation?
I think it's related to anything having to do with stress, because as stress overcomes us and we don't adapt, we maladapt, it tightens everything up. It constricts blood supply, and that means blood supply everywhere from the heart vessels all the way to the tiny little vessels that affect the ear. So I think yes, and if stress is affecting the adrenal glands and the adrenal glands can't manufacture. There are many anti-inflammatory drugs, because that's like there are many little drug factories there. It can impede the ability for the body to take action against that inflammation that was generated, or make sure that the healing process is moving along. And absolutely, you have to look at it as a whole, you know, just like we do in holistic healthcare. You have to look at it as a mind, body, spirit, chemical, physical. All of those things need considerations. And unfortunately, today in mainstream medicine, it's all cookie cutter. Parts is parts. Every specialist has a part of the body. One doesn't know what the other one is doing at any given time. And that's why you have multiple pharmaceutical accidents and the high death rates from people, you know, dying from prescribed drugs, because one doctor to the next prescribes another load, and eventually they OD on something.
Right. And for any of these conditions, you know, obviously they are the result of chronic underlying dynamics happening in the body. So people need to be patient, because it's taken a while to get your body to be so compromised. And, you know, you have to hang in there, but this is a path that can really support the body's ability to recover, restore function again.
And the worst that can happen is nothing. Whereas, you know, you take an aspirin, you bleed 1/4 teaspoon of blood or so. And an average, but with using natural remedies, the worst that can happen is nothing. And you may lose, you know, be separated from your hard-earned dollars a little bit, but you can't have, or at least the likelihood of having a side effect, a really bad side effect, is extremely low. And the possibility of getting better is high. If the person knows how to apply it and can properly advise you.
Right, and I think it's looking for the healing allies, and maybe it's more than one practitioner. You may need to see an acupuncturist, you may need to see a chiropractor, you may need to see a massage therapist, or, you know, whatever. I always talk about getting your little healing team together, because you have to do whatever it takes, basically.
Totally agree with that.
So we're just about out of time. I want people to get your website again. So why don't we do that? What's the best place for them to learn more about you and your books and your radio show?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can go right to my site, because they're at the site at drbobmartin.com. They can hear live streaming audio of the show. There's 7 hours. I do a four-hour show on Saturday, and then I do a show nationwide on over 155 radio stations nationwide on Sunday for 3 hours. There's podcasting. They can listen to old shows up there, a ton of that. And there they can also find out how to get a copy of the book, Secret Nerve Cures, if they or somebody they know is struggling with a nerve condition, or they recognize the benefit of being proactive, because 80% of people in their lifetime are going to have a low back issue. They're going to have something go wrong, and it's always nice to be educated ahead of time, so you can go right to the source and go, okay, my downtime is going to be minimized because I'm all over this. Here's the book, or here's, you know, and it doesn't just mean mine. There are lots of other books that can help out. Get as many as you can on the subject and read, and then you make the decision. But you have to become a more active participant in your own health care, or you'll end up in sick care, which is a risky place to be.
Yes, that's the place we want to be hanging out, is in sick care. Dr. Bob Martin, this has been such a pleasure. You are such a wealth of wisdom, and I hope people take advantage of listening to you on your fantastic syndicated radio show, because you share so much more of this kind of information. So just thank you so much for the wonderful work you've been doing for all these years.
Well, thank you for the invite. It's been a very big honor and pleasure being on your show. And I wish you well and your audience well.
Thank you so much. And we've been listening to Dr. Bob Martin. He is the author of Secret Nerve Cures, Safe, Inexpensive, Effective, and Science-Based Remedies for Nerve-Related Health Challenges. Go heal your nerves. You can do it. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You've been listening to What Women Must Know. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self.